Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Good morning, Marsh. I'm so glad you're here with me. I feel
good
like
morning. 3 days in a row.
It's like a Kim fix here, right? Are you sick of me yet or what?
No.
No, we've been having, yesterday was like an amazing day. I actually left my show after we did it, which was a really great show. And then I went and pampered myself literally from head to toe. And then
I know last night last night, and she literally looked like she's almost going into a coma.
I was a little away from that, but I felt so good. I'm telling you, you gotta do some stuff for yourself. It's really important. Well, I welcome all of you to my show. I call the Kim Pagano Show, and I'm Kim here with Marsha. We got Jacob on the lines.
Good morning, guys.
How are you? You look a little sleepy too. What's going on, Jacob? You dancing up a storm still or what?
It's just been really busy before school starts. So.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that funny? I was just thinking that this is kind of the time that you feel two things. One, in a complete stress that you got to get ready before school, but then you also have to fit in all the rest of your summer.
Stress and stress?
Yeah, two different kinds of
stress. I know.
Totally
I'm already putting everybody back in their school, and it's just like, oh God, hold on to those last couple weeks. That's
it's
what
that time of
like.
Week where you have to school shopping and then getting ready for school the whole year and like everything, you got to plan everything out. And I'm just like stressed with work and like everything. So I'm just like,
you know what? I don't know. I think I'm really trying to look at it like, yeah, we'll be there tomorrow.
There is a kind of a relief once school does start of getting back into
a schedule,
and a rhythm.
Yeah.
In life.
You know, we're kind of all over the place. We don't eat dinner at any certain time.
At some point I have to go back into a schedule.
I think that's what, retired feels like.
I don't know. Steve and I were just talking about, not retiring, but just the next phase of our life, because we have twins that are seniors this year.
And
you really.
McKinsey's still home, so.
And McKinsey's
don't forget,
a junior. Yeah. So we only have 2 years, and they'll all be gone.
I know. So, I'm right there, right with you, babe. That was kind of one of our topics. Like, what does that look like in the next chapter of our life?
The other thing we talked about last night, which was kind of fun. Do you keep a window for them to come back?
Yeah. Do you allow your kids to come back? You know what? In fact, I want to give out our phone number here at the Kim Pagano Show at 805-639-0008. Do you let your kids come back?
It's called a boomerang syndrome. Part of it is because of economics. I mean, I heard a statistic the other day that 25% of kids that are graduating from college don't have jobs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, don't have not a significant job, but they just don't have jobs. So, you know, you think you put all this money into education, and you have to start paying for your education when you finish it if you've taken out loans.
And that's why I really think that occupational schools are going to come back in. And that's
I think that there is something to be said for
occupational.
You know, because not everybody
is school bound, and that they, if you are school bound, go and learn a career, and then you'll be able to start working.
Well,
at it,
I have a different view I loved college so much, and it really. It made such an impact on the rest of my life as just being a learned person of knowing.
Is that a word, learned?
Learned,
okay,
yeah.
Good,
learned.
I never heard
I hope.
That. Okay.
Yeah, I hope. If not, I went to college for
she
nothing.
Did. I was just going to say, wait a minute. Yeah,
it's important to have that education, but at the same time, you don't want to do it at your own apparel.
Exactly.
Or apparel.
Oh, God.
I'm
get
bad
it.
Today.
What college did you... No, I'm only kidding.
No, apparel is clothing.
Yeah,
apparel.
I know.
Apparel. But, you want to do it where it's... productive to your life, too.
Well, you know, this actually goes along with our show right now because for anybody that's just tuning in right now, we've got a really great show for you today. We have a guest coming on, and they're going to be talking about foreign language.
We are not drinking,
yeah,
by the way.
No, it's too early. But, you know, have you ever wanted to order something? When I was in Italy, I wanted to order wine or even a food that I saw on somebody else's plate. I'm like, how do I explain that to them? This lady's going to talk to us about that. And, you know, there's so many things, even if you, you know, are in a foreign country or you meet in-laws or you, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, how do I, you know.
Well, there is foreign language used in America, too, even if you're never going to go. This, you know, you go out to a nice restaurant, you want to be able to pronounce the food kind of correctly.
Right, exactly. So this lady is going to be talking to us about tips on some of the most commonly mispronounced wines, foods, and phrases. So that should be really interesting. And then, Marcia, you want to tell about the second one?
If I could turn to the second one.
Okay.
We got to kind of have a foreign, it's a novel written by a woman whose background is, she has Japanese ancestry.
Right.
And so it's called How to Be an American Housewife. And
which is funny because I didn't realize you have to learn how to be a, you know, yeah. I mean, but that is true. So.
Well, and it says that in the 1950s there was instructional books on people coming over that were maids from foreign countries, and I guess this was a Japanese family, on how to be Americanized. So this is a novel written around that. So
yeah,
it sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I have Japanese kids coming to stay at my house this weekend.
That's what you said. So maybe you can get a little, you know,
yeah,
from that. So, all right. Well, I welcome everyone to my show. Gosh, you know, I want to let everybody know we are on every morning from 8 to 9 and then again from 3 to 4 if you miss any part of it. And also, I do have tickets to give away for this Saturday night, the 13th. We've got a live tribute to the Golden Oldies over at Civic Center at the Civic Park Plaza and in Thousand Oaks. So that is Saturday, August 13th at 8 o'clock. And I've got two tickets away to give away. And Jacob here is going to be opening up our lines,
yep,
right? Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is we will take caller number 3.
Number 3, yeah.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Give us a call at 805-639-0008. And I know we have our first caller on the line. Hello?
Good morning.
Hello?
Well, okay.
Maybe so- not. Hello? Nope. Did we lose him? Ah, we couldn't speak his language. So, oh, God. All right. So... All right. Well, we'll get them back on. That's what we do when we're live, right?
Right.
So some of the things that we were talking about last night, you know, I just want to give out a shout out to all my lady friends out there. It was really cool. We just got to hear from so many different people's opinions. And I think that that's what we need when we're kind of going through our journey of other people's support.
You know, I got to say, and I think I've told you this before, but there was many years, probably 10 years, I was not really in need of girlfriends. I mean, I had a lot of girlfriends. I've always had a lot of friends. But, you know, I guess it's just being totally consumed by your kids that, you know, they're in certain, and usually when I was with my girlfriends, I was with a group of girlfriends with their kids.
Right.
But
well, you kind of do.
As you get older and your kids start pulling away from you, you realize that, you know, not that to be alone with my husband is a terrible thing. I love my husband dearly.
Yeah.
But as you get older, you have to widen your group so that you
diversify and get some things from a lot of people.
So there's something interesting for you to come back to your husband with because sometimes...
Yeah, you don't want to be boring.
And you don't want to bore him.
Right, exactly. Well, maybe Chris can give us some ideas on how we can talk in a different language so he can understand us. All right, Chris, are you there? Did we get you back?
I am.
Oh, good.
I am here.
All right, we thought we figured we said the wrong thing. the wrong language here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And what language are we talking about? Is it many languages?
Well, I'm publishing director of Living Language, and we publish language courses in a whole variety of languages, about 28 different languages. Today, specifically, we'll be talking about German, Spanish, French, and Italian.
Ooh, cool. Very cool. Okay.
And I, you know, I have been to France and I've been to Italy, and it does help if you can say, you know, just the basic things so that they can understand
even,
you. And
Absolutely. Even if you can just say the basic courtesy expressions, that goes a long way.
I know. You had some examples here that was really funny, right? And what was it that you're trying to say, I'm full, and instead you said, what, I'm finished or I'm pregnant?
I'm pregnant,
that's,
yeah.
I mean, okay.
Is that Spanish?
Well, it's actually the French. I'm guilty of having made this mistake. just in the, you know, which is doubly embarrassing. But I had finished French in high school, and I was in France, and I thought I was all hot stuff because I could speak French, and I was at a restaurant, and somebody offered me more, and I said, "Oh no, I'm full. Je suis plein," which literally means I'm full, but it's an idiom that means I'm pregnant. So you can imagine the looks I got from around the table.
You know, that's very interesting because before I went to France, my husband speaks fluent French, and I took French in high school and can't speak any of it. But before I went to France, I happened to read this article on culture, and they were saying, you know, a lot of people think that French are rude, and what the reason for that is that in France, you go into a store. They consider their stores their homes. And just like you
right.
wouldn't walk into somebody else's home and not say hello to them, you
right.
shouldn't walk into a store and not say hello. That's why you walk into a store and you say bonjour. Well, of course, my accent's so bad, I would walk into a store and say bonjour, and they would start talking to me in English. But
And they laugh at us. You're absolutely right.
At the same time, they so appreciated me making that effort
right.
that I felt that French were very welcoming.
The French are very welcoming. I think they get a bad rap, frankly. I mean, it's people in big cities, they tend to be a little bit faster and have a little bit, you know, less patience and all of that stuff. But, and so Paris is no different than, you know, New York or LA or, you know, any other big city. But especially if you travel outside of Paris, the French are incredibly warm and welcoming, people. And if you can speak even a little bit of the language, they're thrilled and they're there to help you. And even if, you know, if your pronunciation isn't quite perfect, that's fine, you know.
You know, Chris, it was funny.
When people speak English.
Yeah, exactly. We were in Italy, and I took my little, my iPhone, and I would have my little app. I practiced for, like, you know, pretty much all the way over and a couple weeks ahead. And at the, it just sounded so different than what I was practicing. So I was like, oh, 1 second, okay? And, you know, my husband was like, I think you're talking Spanglish now, and we're in Italy. You know,
yeah.
I was like, and, you know, people were, like, so confused by me. I don't understand. So walk us through a couple things that we might be able to help us, you know, anybody that's traveling these last couple weeks here.
Well, another common mistake that people make in Spanish, there's a Spanish word, embarazada, which looks like embarrassed, so you might be tempted to use it if you want to say that you're embarrassed, but if you do use it, especially if you're a man, you will be embarrassed, because that too means pregnant. It seems like all these pitfalls mean pregnant for some reason. But that's something that it's a false cognate. You know, it's a word that looks like something but actually means something else. There's a pair of words in German, Nacht, which means night. So like Gute Nacht is good night, but then Nacht, which is what we might pronounce being native speakers of English, because we don't have that sound in English, that actually means naked.
Nice. Nice.
So
okay.
Say to someone "Gute Nacht," you know, they're going to think you've got something else in mind, maybe, than just wishing them a good night.
Unless you want that.
Yeah,
but
I was just going to say, wait a minute.
Putting it out there, it could be useful.
And now here's a really funny one: ordering pepperoni, right, in Italy.
Yeah. This is something that I actually learned recently. The word pepperoni, as we know it in the States, you know, P-E-P-P-E-R, is apparently not an Italian word. Somebody probably made it up while they were making a pizza in Brooklyn or something.
Mm-hmm.
There is a word pepperoni with just one P, P-E-P-E-R, and it has nothing to do with a sausage or cured meat thing. It means bell peppers.
Yeah, well, at least you're still going to get food.
You're still going to get food, and it's probably still going to be delicious on your pizza, but it's not going to be that meat lover's pizza that you were looking for, maybe.
Well, it's funny because, you know, all the margarita pizzas out there, you know, I heard everybody ordering margarita, and I'm like, geez, these people really drink a lot. But that's all it was, is
margarita
pizza.
On
pizza.
It's just a normal pizza.
It is, I know, but, you know, it's like, really, you got to start looking at this. Now, ordering wine, that's another, you know, big thing.
Yeah.
Give us some tips on that.
Yeah, that's the greatest tip is to just practice pronouncing it. You know, especially if you're out on a date and you want to impress. That's usually when people bring out their fancy pronunciation of the wines. But the wine list is a minefield of potential mispronunciations, especially the French wines. The big one is you'll hear things like Pouilly Fussy or Pouilly. I've heard it a million different ways, all of them wrong. The French pronunciation is Pouilly Fussy, but you don't really have to French it up that much. Especially if you're in an American restaurant, you can break it down into syllables that are actually quite easy for English speakers. Pouilly Fussy. That'll get you the wine, and it doesn't make it sound like you don't know what you're talking
really
about.
But it's really Pouilly Fussy, right? That's the only thing I did take a little bit of French, and every once in a while it comes back, right?
Pouilly is the first word.
It is Pouilly. Ah.
Well, and the interesting thing about wine in Italy or France is it's by region. They call the wine the region. It's not actually what we call
the grape variety.
So you can get yourself mixed up. The best tip I can give you if you're going to France or Italy, just order the house wine. It's always good, and you don't get yourself all the house white, the house red. It doesn't matter what it is; they always serve a great wine comparatively.
Exactly.
Here, you order a house wine.
You just ask for the house
wine. It's the cheapest thing on the menu, and it's the best.
That's great advice.
And
I'm a winer. I like good wine. I don't like cheap wine. If I can drink it, Anyway,
I went to university in France, and even the bottles of wine that they have in the university cafeterias are great. They're like really great wines.
Yeah.
Wow. So you can never go wrong ordering the house red or the house white.
So Chris, tell us a little bit about Living Language. So what can people look in and on that and get tips on stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We our website's livinglanguage.com, and we are a company that produces self-study language materials, and we just launched this week this really fabulous new product called Platinum, and it's unlike anything else that's out there on the market. It's this really, really modern multi-platform. So the idea is you get a package with books and audio, 46 lessons. It'll take you really, really far in the language, like roughly the equivalent of 2 years of your typical college 101, 102 kind of thing, 201, 202. But the best thing about it is, along with these books and audio, you get apps, so you can, all of the content is on your smartphone or your tablet. You can practice on the go, you can, flash cards and interactive games and quizzes and review your grammar, everything you can do on your smartphone. You also get access to the same content in an online course, and from the online course, the best thing is you can register for e-tutoring sessions, which means, it's self-study, so you're working on your own, but when you're ready to practice with a real live native speaker, you can schedule this session, and it's sort of like a video conference. And it gives you a chance to, from the comfort of your own home, at your own pace, all of that stuff, say, hey, I'm gonna practice this new language and put it to use, and it's a really great product, and just launched this week.
So if somebody's going on a trip, let's say, 6 months from now, how long do they need to really
3 years ago
feel good about it?
No, not at all. It really, it depends on a couple of things. The most important thing about studying a new language is contact hours. You want to have regular contact hours with the language. So, for example, in a week, it's much better to study for even a half an hour, say 3 or 4 nights a week, rather than for like 3 hours straight, only one day a week.
Right.
Because you want to keep the amount of time in between your contact with the language at a minimum. And with the Platinum product, with these apps and the online, you can access it from anywhere. So we've created a product that people can use in their busy lives and, use on the go. And that's the key to learning a new language. And this is a fantastic tool for people who want to do that, but who are busy.
So is this an all computer oriented program, or is there actual, hands on pieces to it, or what?
No, there are books and audio. So people still love books. People still love to read things in books. So there are books, there are audio CDs. There's the online component, the online course and the e-tutor sessions.
So whatever kind of learner you are, there's something for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And you can, it's the same, it's all the content you can access in all of these different ways. And, you know, so it's really maximum flexibility and, cross every platform.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate
thank
that.
You.
And, you know what? I mean, this
how
is,
do you get this?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's online. He just said that.
No, I mean
www.livinglanguage.com or in anywhere books are sold, you know, online or bookstores, you can find it.
Okay. And now, is there a whole series of this? Is that how it works?
There is a whole series. Right now, we have German, French, Spanish, and Italian. We're coming out with Chinese in just about a month or two, I believe, and then Japanese is going to follow, then Arabic, and you know, soon enough we'll have many, many more. They're all in the works right now.
You're taking us around the world, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the Kim Pagano Show, and I wish you guys a lot of luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. All right. With that, we are going to take a really quick break, and you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia. We got Jacob on the board. Our phones are going crazy, and I'm going to throw another set of tickets out there. So give us a call at 805-639-0008, and what we'll do is we'll take names. All right, for this weekend, live tribute to the Golden Oldies. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Lights go out and I can be saved. Tides that I tried to swim against. Put me down upon my knees. Oh, I beg and please.
Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello. We also have a perfect cure for the summertime blues with our rock and roll summer camps. And for your adorable MIDI music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 5. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music.
Did you hear John down the street passed away? He was so young.
Oh, man, wasn't he a single father?
Yes. I have no idea what they're going to do. What would we do if that happened?
Ooh, who would take care of our kids?
Oh, we really need to get a plan in place, but where do we even start?
I am attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who do not plan accordingly. Making a plan to help your family in the event of a tragedy is very important. Let me help you by answering all your questions and show you ideas on how to plan, not for future events, but to protect your family from waste and bad investments through the use of a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollars. Mention KKZZ and you'll receive a color upgrade at no additional charge. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at 653-0791 or email us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for staying with us. What?
Oh, nothing. I was just laughing. I was thinking of when I went to Italy, and you know, we were talking about language differences. I went to Italy, and one of the things I wanted, the kids wanted to send postcards back to their friends, so I was trying to find stamps. And I looked up in my little language book how to say stamp. I got that. And people kept telling me to go to tobacco stores, and I thought they were crazy. I'm like, I don't want cigarettes. I don't want, you know.
Is that
like,
where they sell?
That's where they sell stamps. They do not have, like, post offices around that you get stamps at. But it took me 3 days to figure out why they kept telling me to go to tobacco stores. And finally, this guy spoke both Italian and English. He said, no, that's where they are. They don't sell them where they sell the postcards. They sell them where, you know, it's pretty funny.
That's very encouraging, right? Yeah, I don't know about that, but anyways. So I have, you know, this kind of a list of 10 easy lessons, how to drive yourself totally crazy. And it's really, it's thought distortions. And I thought that this would be kind of fun to talk about. But, and I don't know, see if you can figure out what kind of person you are.
Oh, gosh.
I already know what I am, you know. are you an all or nothing thinking? So that is, you tend to see things in terms of black and white categories. For example, if your performance falls short of being absolutely perfect, you condemn yourself as being a total failure.
Oh, first of all, can we be more than one of these things?
Yes.
Okay.
I know, exactly. And Jacob, yeah. Okay, start thinking, okay. Do you overgeneralize yourself? You consider that several negative events from the past can accurately predict your entire future. For example, saying to yourself or to others, I always do a lousy on tests, or I never get a break.
Okay, I am not like that.
Okay, see, so that's
that I know I'm
yeah.
not like.
So you look at things half full instead of half empty. I mean, that's it. Or like yeah. all the time, right? How about you, Jacob? Any
not,
of these sounding
not
familiar?
Yet.
Oh, he's looking okay. a little guilty
yeah.
there. Okay.
Mental filtering. You pick out a single negative detail and then you dwell on it exclusively so that your vision of all reality becomes darkened. For example, thinking that the house is a total disaster because the dishes are in the sink, not washed.
No, but I do have, if things are chaotic,
yeah.
I tend to get more...
Crazy? Me
crazy.
Too. Yeah. Do you know that my husband used to say, you want mom to be in a good mood? Make sure the house is clean when she comes home. And seriously, that is like my tranquil, you know, my housekeeper. My house is all picked up and in order. I can come home and just...
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't happen in my house, but okay. I don't have someone picking up after me. Yeah,
well, no, I'm talking about picking up after yourself. Maintenance, you know, it's that kind of thing. Okay, rejecting the positive. You reject positive feedback by insisting that those remarks don't really count. For example, after receiving a compliment, you discount it by thinking that, oh, they're just trying to be nice. They don't really mean it.
Yeah, I think everybody does that once in
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, has anybody ever go, oh, you look really pretty today. Oh, really?
Or, you know, you say yeah. you say that to somebody else. You say, oh, I like that dress. Oh, I got it on sale. It's not very, you know.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. They disregard their, and I go, I don't care. You bought it on sale. I still like it, you know.
I know. And I'm just, I usually say, just say thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
just say thank you and acknowledge it. You know, yeah. that's a big thing. Jumping to conclusions. In mind reading, you automatically assume that someone is reacting negatively to you without first checking it out. And so what about that? Or fortune telling?
I don't do that, but I do know people that are like that. I remember one time I walked past this woman, a very good friend of mine, and I was really busy that day. I used to be the PTA president at our school, and I was always running around doing something. And I walked past her, and I guess I didn't even see her, and she thought
that you ignored her.
That I ignored her. And she was really upset with me, and she got herself into such a tizzy that she called me up that night, and she was so irate. And I said, and I almost said her name, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
I
please.
Said, look, I didn't even see you.
Right. It had nothing to do with her.
It had nothing to do with it. I said I was trying to get somewhere, and she's like, oh. I just wasted my whole afternoon.
I know. People think that they're that important. Yeah. How sad is that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That you're really, we're all so busy. We're not, you know, you yeah. can't depend your life on somebody else's thoughts.
Well, and how is it that she let that affect her, even if it was the truth?
Right.
You
and
know?
You know what's funny? I was just telling my mom this. I have a girlfriend that I haven't seen in a while. And you know how you become really close with somebody and then all of a sudden they kind of like drop out of the face of the earth of your world? And I was like, is everything all right? Did I do something to upset you? And I never really say that, but I really thought, gosh, do I know too much about you? Or do I, you know?
But on the other hand, why did you think it was you?
Well, I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. I didn't really think
but
it was.
But maybe her life is just out of control and you exactly. just happen to not. I mean, have you called her?
Yeah.
Over and over again, you've called her?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so, I mean, but those are things, you know. Usually I just go, okay. That, you know, they'll come around again,
right.
So. But, you know, life is kind of weird. Anyways, fortune telling. You are absolutely certain that things will turn out poorly for you, and you behave as if your prediction is already established. It's a fact, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no,
okay.
So I would say number one so far.
Okay. Using binoculars, both ends, you tend to exaggerate the importance of things, such as your mistakes or someone else's achievement. Or you inappropriately shrink things until they appear tiny and insignificant, such as your own desirable qualities or the other person's imperfections.
Mm. I used to do this. I think I've kind of grown past that.
Any of these sounding familiar to you or any of you out there? And if you have
I think that has to do with a good self-image if you don't.
It really
you
is.
Know.
Yeah, you have to be really comfortable in your own shoes. And, you know, I think that that's something that we all need to practice. We all have to practice that. You know, as a hair therapist, I always look at people's qualities instead of their, you know, imperfections. And a lot of people don't do that. They'll be you know, when they come in and sit in my chair, they're like, oh, you know, my eyes aren't equal or my ears are this. And I'm like, really? Did you ever look at the color of your eyes? Did you ever look at the...
Yeah, but when you're staring at yourself, all you see is, you know what I mean? It's easier to pick out the imperfection in yourself than it is somebody else, I think.
Yeah, but why not look at all...
I mean, look at how much plastic surgery there is. Those are people that are...
True.
Not happy with themselves and picking on one aspect of themselves to focus on.
Yeah, but why not just try to, I don't know, be happy with what you have, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, emotional reasoning. You assume that your negative emotions necessarily reflect the way that things really are. For example, you say to yourself, just because I feel helpless, therefore, it must be true. I am helpless. So remember, it's really important to put positive thoughts in your mind, because when you don't, guess what's going to happen? You're going to think down of yourself.
Say that again. I don't know that I got that.
Okay, so
kind of like having a low self-esteem, right?
Yes.
What was the first? What was
emotional reasoning? You assume that your negative emotions necessarily reflect the way that things really are. For example, you say to yourself, just because I feel helpless, therefore it must be true.
Oh,
I am helpless.
I get it now. All right. Mm-hmm.
So, should statements. You try to motivate yourself with shoulds and shouldn'ts. For example, you think that you should be perfect and nice to everyone, and or that you should never become angry or assertive.
I do more shoulds of, like, I should have gotten this done, and I should have done, you know, I should have spent my afternoon being productive, but,
yeah,
you know.
I do that, too.
Yeah,
kind of look
too.
Back on going, dang, I was getting a massage yesterday, and I guess I should have done all this paperwork, you know?
Yeah, shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Woulda, coulda. That is not good. Okay, labeling and name-calling. Instead of simply describing your error, you condemn yourself by tacking on a negative label. For example, you think to yourself, because I broke my diet, a fact, therefore I must be a pig, an opinion. Or I failed the math test, a fact, therefore I must be a failure, an opinion.
Well, you know what, though? That is the reason that people go off food programs. I'm not even going to call them diets, but, you know, they will splurge and then, oh, see?
That's it.
I went off my diet.
I wasn't going to do this.
I knew I couldn't do it. And then they go the other way. That's why a lot of people that lose a significant amount of weight end up gaining more back. And as a matter of fact, I was very sad. The other day I went, you know, I go to Weight Watchers and I have for a year or whatever. And when I first started going this time, although I've been many times over the last 25 years, this woman who was in her 70s lost a great deal of weight. And I was so impressed by her and so touched, because she, you know, she did it for herself. And she was in her 70s, and that's not easy. And she lost 75 pounds. And then she stopped coming for whatever reason. She had a health issue or whatever. And then She stopped coming, and I saw her at the movies the other day, and she's gained more back than she had lost. And I was so sad. I just was so sad for her. I hope she's happy, because, you know, who cares if you're overweight, if you're happy about it. But, you know,
yeah, but who's really ever happy
to see an accomplishment let go because of whatever reason? I just was sad.
That is a really sad story.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it made me realize that, because I've lost 30 pounds, it is a process that has to keep going.
Right.
It's not something you can just forget.
One day at a time.
Right.
In anything that you're trying to do, and don't beat yourself up over it.
Right.
And, you know, the biggest thing, I'm going to go to this last one, but the biggest message that I want to say is you can restart your day anytime.
That's a great, great thing to say. Yeah.
Yeah, you can restart
your day. You think, tomorrow, but, you know, really now.
Yeah. Don't wait for tomorrow. Wait for today. I mean, right now, say, okay, so, you know, that was really good. I'm going to start all over again right now.
Right.
Or, you know, wow, I walked in and, you know, I didn't feel so comfortable in this room. But you know what? I'm going to restart myself right now.
Right.
So I think that's a huge message. The last one was personalization. You hold yourself responsible for being the cause of some negative external event for which you were not primarily responsible for. For example, when your kids get a traffic ticket, you assume it was because of you. You were a poor parent, or, you know, and that's another thing that we do, you know.
Or bad grades. That is, you know, when you take what your kids accomplish or don't accomplish, or they come home and they, you know, whatever, didn't do well on a test or have a bad grade, you assume it was something you did.
Right, or we didn't give them enough knowledge, or
we didn't spend enough time, or we didn't harp over them enough, or, you know, nag at them enough, or whatever it is.
Yeah, in fact, you know what, when we come back, I know we have our next guest on the line here, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about something that I'm going to share. My son's probably going to be a little upset with me, but I really think it's a message
for whichever son it is, turn off the radio.
Yeah. But, you know, really, I think it's a message to all of our parents and our kids out there, because it was something that I thought I said it, but really, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I never even dreamed that this would ever come up. And he's a pretty smart kid, and he never thought about it either. So.
Well, and you've already told me, when you told me, I thought I would have done exactly what he did. So there you go.
Anyways, I welcome everybody who's just joining us right now. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. If it's your first time, I want to let you know I am on Monday through Friday, and again Monday through Friday from 8 to 9, and then again from 3 to 4. Also, I'm on all of your smartphones, TuneIn Radio. You can tune in anytime, and you can record it if you're watching. Walking into a meeting or you're driving, just record it and you can listen later. And also, if you missed it that way, you can listen on my website, thekimpaganoshow.com. So there's a lot of it. Also, I'm on Facebook, and become a fan. Like us on there. That is Kim Pagano Show. So we're all over. And we're also on Twitter.
Twitter now, yeah.
Yeah, so we just tweeted.
There is no reason not to.
We tweeted just now.
There's no reason why not to like Kim. So.
There you go. All right.
Exactly.
So, and our phones have been going crazy, so I thank all of our callers. And, you know, if you have something that you want to talk about, give us a call here. We want to hear from you. I want to know know what's going on out there. We have Margaret on the line, and her debut, is that right?
Debut.
See, you go. I know. I should have talked to Chris about that, darn it. Anyways, is How to Be an American Housewife. And welcome, Margaret.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm hiding in my room. Hopefully my kids won't bust in here.
we've all been there.
Yep, exactly. So
it's like a radar, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That once you get on the phone, they have a radar. Ooh, mom's on the phone. Let's go bug her.
Absolutely.
Right. So, Margaret, you wrote this great book, and it's a novel of... So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's about the difficult relationship between a Japanese war bride and her American daughter. What happens is the mother wants to make one last trip back to Japan to find her brother and reunite with her family, but she's too ill to go, so she ends up sending her daughter instead. And her daughter makes this trip with her daughter, and the trip ends up changing everyone's lives in unexpected ways as the daughter learns about her mother's life back in Japan, and the mother learns to accept her daughter as an adult.
Wow.
That's I want to know, is your mother immigrant?
Yes, she was actually born in 1932, so she was a war bride. She married my dad during the U.S. occupation of Japan.
Cool.
So is this story a little bit about your life?
Yeah, it was a lot about my life. My mom actually passed away when I was 20, so I never got to have an adult relationship with her, but we did sort of have a really difficult relationship, and it was my way of exploring what it might have been like if we were both adults and got to have this relationship.
So you kind of put a dream together a little bit. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how long did it take you to write this?
I started when I was pregnant with my youngest, and she was in kindergarten when it came out.
Hmm.
So, I mean,
dreams come true, even if they take a little while.
Yeah, it took a few years to write and get right and then sold, and then it was about 2 years after it was sold before it came out.
And what did you learn about yourself in this process?
I learned that I am a better mother than I thought, I guess. And I learned that I had a lot of prejudices about my mother, that I didn't really see her as anyone except my mother until I thought about it and really delved into it.
I think that's true. Just as being a mother, you learn to forgive your mom for the things that you thought were so, I don't know, terrible.
It's funny, as we're growing up, you know, there's an age where we idolize our parents, right?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that brought us into the world. And then all of a sudden you reality your parents. And you're like, wait a minute, you're not who you said you were.
I thought you were.
I thought you were, right? And then you get a little older and you go, oh, my God, I didn't realize how rough it is out here. Wow, you're doing a really good job, you know? So you kind of like, evolving.
Or I understand why, I held this anger with my mother for years and years and years about my mom. I had two brothers, older brothers, and my mother made my brothers breakfast every single morning and never made me breakfast.
Wow.
And I thought that was really cruel. And later on, now I realize I probably didn't want breakfast. Because I have one child who wants breakfast every morning and two that don't want it, you know, at all. And, you know, maybe I at some point in an off thing said, I don't want breakfast. Stop making me breakfast. So she said, all right.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste my time.
But maybe I was just in a bad mood that day. And I held this anger for years and years. And then I'm thinking, what was the point of that?
But it is. You do realize things like that. You know, Margaret, I have four children. And, you know, it's funny because each one of them brings something to the table. And each one of them wants something different. And so, you know, your closeness with one feels a different relationship. But then your other one maybe doesn't want to be close in that way. And they feel left out.
Right.
And it's like, how do you win with, you know? So you have to kind of learn to honor each one of them and what they want from you.
Now, do you have any siblings?
I have two brothers.
Uh-huh. And did they feel, when you talk about your upbringing now, do you have the same recollection? Or is it like watching an accident? Everybody watched a different story.
My oldest brother had a different experience because he's so much older than me and my middle brother. So he was an only child for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So he was born in 1960, so his experience was a lot different than ours because we were born in the 70s. So my middle brother and I have had pretty much the same experience. And my mother was one of those sort of tiger mothers, so she was really harsh on me about everything from my appearance.
Because you were the girl?
Yeah, and not really on my brothers. So I had a lot of difficulty overcoming that when I was a young adult.
Hmm. And you called it how to be an American housewife.
Yes.
So is this done by her point of view, or whose point of view is this written by?
It's written from both points of view. The first part of the book is first person written from the Japanese woman's point of view, and the second half is written from the daughter's point of view. So it starts with the second half when the daughter's going to Japan.
So do you talk about all your experiences out there of going to Japan?
Yeah, I never actually got to go to Japan. I really wanted to, but I kept on having kids, and we could never afford it. So I just did lots of research.
There's still time, by the way.
Yeah. I just did lots of research about it. I mean, I went once when I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
But we still have family there, and there's so much information available now that I didn't want to wait any longer to write the book.
All right. And now, was it really hard? You know, I know so many people have their life stories that they want to put into a book. Was it really hard to get it out there?
It was a little bit more difficult because a lot of it was real. My mom told me a lot of stories about what it was like growing up for her and what it was like in Japan after the war. And I included a lot of those real stories, but I wanted the plot to be fiction because otherwise I couldn't explore the themes that I wanted to explore.
Right.
And I think that's why it took me such a long time to write it, because I was so close to the material.
Right, yeah.
Right. So where do we find your book? And tell everybody, the name of it is?
It's How to Be an American Housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it in any bookstore, Costco, Target, and airport bookstores, I think.
And Margaret Dilloway, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes.
Great.
Okay, great. And so if we were going to get one message that you would say that your book has, what would that be?
I think the main point of the book is about the power of forgiveness.
Wow, and we all need that, don't we?
Yeah.
Power of forgiveness. Wow, that's pretty strong right there. I love it. Thank you so much, Margaret, for being a guest on my show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and keep your journey.
Thanks, you too.
All right. With that, we are going to take a really quick break, and stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia, and Jacob's on the line. And if you have anything that you want to add to our show, give us a call, 805-639-0008. We'll be right back.
Do you ever feel like school gets in the way of your time with your children?
Wait, what do you mean? Doesn't everyone have their children in school all day, then fight with them to get homework finished in addition to everything else that needs to be done?
You must not have heard about Somas Academy Charter School right here in Camarillo.
What is Somas Academy?
Somas Academy has changed our lives. I'm so sorry I haven't shared this with you sooner. Somas Academy is a public school which is aligned with state standards and allows me to school my child on our time, giving us much more time for our family.
I'm not a teacher. How do you do this?
Trust me, I didn't think I could do it either. At Somas Academy, I partner with a great supervising teacher who guides us through the educational process. It's been so successful for us. Not only that, Somas Academy offers individualized learning for kindergarten through 12th grade, friendly teachers, park days and field trips, on-campus enrichment days, and specialized teachers for classes and labs for high school.
Wow, that sounds like a great fit for our family.
Call Somas Academy today for more information at 987-1188, extension 100, or visit their website at somas-academy.org.
Hi, George Thompson here, and you have a friend in the diamond business. Here at my jewelry factory and diamond outlet in Camarillo at the 101 and Las Posas off-ramp in the Target Center, we can save you up to 75% off regular retail jewelry prices. How can I do this? I personally go to the World Diamond Cutting Centers in Israel, Bangkok, and Antwerp to get the best buys on loose diamonds. I have built a jewelry manufacturing factory in Bangkok, Thailand. I've hired world-class goldsmiths and jewelers to cast our gold, set our diamonds, and create the finest quality jewelry. I eliminate the middlemen. People think they can get better jewelry prices by going to one of the clubs or the malls or on the internet. But none of them make their own jewelry. They have manufacturers like me who supply them with their jewelry. That's why a half-carat diamond anniversary ring that's $1,590 at Macy's is only $395 here at George Thompson's in Camarillo, right off the 101 in Las Posas in the Target Center next to Staples.
Why go to L.A.'s wholesale jewelry mart when you can get your diamonds factory direct at your friend in the diamond business, George Thompson in the Target Center in Camarillo.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for staying here with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I'm here with Marcia. And we've been just kind of talking about, it just goes by so fast.
I know.
You know, but I do want to let everybody know that I actually have an article that I wrote in the Ventura Breeze, which is a great newspaper. And it's a local newspaper out here. And
free.
Yes. And you need to really get a copy of it. One, to read my article, but just to look through there. There's just, if you want to know what's going on out here, definitely check it out. I am actually on page 7, and I wrote a little something about Nothing is by Accident. And it's a little introductory to how I became on my radio show, how I became my radio show.
I became on.
Yeah. And so I love it. And I thank, you know, for this opportunity. So there's a lot of ways to learn about who I am. And I'd love you to be a part of my show. So I definitely want to put that out there.
Okay, so you teased everybody with something that happened to your son. I think this is
really
important.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay, yes, my son was at the U.S.
Surf
contest down at the beach. Thousands and thousands and thousands of kids and people down there. And, you know, we've always taught him to not, you know, drink out of open, you know, cups or, you know, cans or that kind of thing.
Things
when
that
you're
people
at a party.
Hand you
yeah,
or,
you just
yeah.
don't know what people are doing. So in this, you know, concert, they throw out an orange. And my son catches it.
Okay, well, first of all, it was a really hot day.
It was a really
hot day. They'd been in the sun for a long time.
It was a couple weeks ago. And anyways, so, you know, he checks in all the time. Well, he didn't check in with us, and so we were calling him, and he was asleep. And I don't know if he, I mean, we still don't really know, but.
Well, he ate the orange.
He ate the orange out of all these thousands of people. And I think that there was something laced in it, you know? And so. Isn't that crazy?
When,
you wouldn't think
when you
about
say that.
That,
I honestly probably would have eaten the orange.
I know.
Yeah, it was a really hot day. And, you know, oh, how refreshing. And you get an orange, you're like, oh, all right. And yeah. I would have eaten it. I wouldn't have even thought twice.
Yeah.
And now that you say that, you know, it's something that we should tell our kids that, you know what? If you didn't go buy it and you didn't provide it.
Provide it.
And you don't know the person that gave it to you.
Really?
Maybe you shouldn't. And he's so lucky because what it could have been laced with, I mean, obviously it was just something that made him tired.
Right.
And he, you know, groggy or whatever. He could have had LSD in there. It could have had anything.
You just you don't know. I mean, really, it's just an
heroin.
I mean, really. And so it was funny. We got with him about 2 o'clock in the morning and he's like, wow, what time is it? You know, we were ready to
okay, wait, let's just say he was at a friend's,
house.
He was safe. He wasn't
he was
out in the middle
of
the beach at 2 in the morning. But
here's the big thing. There were so many people there, you know, he's not one to fall asleep. That was what was so weird. And that's what really, you know, made us think something wasn't right with that orange, you know, but it's something that we need to talk to our kids about because he was almost like, really, Mom? God, I never even thought of that.
Right.
Which, like you said, or, you know, I mean, who would think about something like that?
And yet when we were in college, we used to, you know, inject watermelon with vodka and stuff, you know, all the time. I mean, I shouldn't say all the time, but it did happen at a party or two. So, you know.
Yeah. Well,
you
have to
be careful.
Yeah, they do that a lot with, you know, and it was funny. He goes, really? They, you know.
And grain alcohol, which you can't taste.
Right. So, anyway, so I thought I'm sure he's going to just go out. I'm going to kill you, Mom. So, but I think that's a lesson to other people because you just, you know, you think, oh, you're having fun and not even think twice about it.
Yeah. Right. So. And you intentionally, you know, and you know your kids. They don't take drugs. You know that they're that type of person. So it's not like you thought that they went and took something. But
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
You gotta watch it.
So we've got the Ventura Fair. Have you guys been out there yet?
Not yet.
I am not a fair person.
You're not.
And, you know, I've had this conversation with Jeannie actually, who's on your show sometimes.
Yes.
And she's like, "What do you mean you're not a fair person?" I finally realized
you don't like going to
fairs. I don't like fairs. I finally realized at this time of my life why I don't like Las Vegas and why I don't like fairs. I cannot have a lot of different stimulus at one time.
That's my husband.
The only thing I do love is Disneyland. I can take Disneyland for some reason.
How does that work? That doesn't make
because
any
sense. It's the happiest place on earth. So, you know,
is it
so
really
I
the happiest
it,
place?
It has always been for me. Okay. No, I can't say that, but I love Disneyland. But I can take all of that for some bizarre reason, and I don't mind the noise of little children, but when it comes to bright lights and that kind of stimulus at the same time, and you know, like at fairs, you have all the rides.
I wonder if
it's
something back in your childhood, you know?
No, I don't think it's my childhood. I just don't think I like it. So I finally realized I don't need to go to things I don't like.
No.
But I do like the part of the fair that has the crafts and all that. So
yeah.
Jean said, well, we'll go and we'll just completely go around all the noise and stuff. I'm like, I don't know that that works. But
I love it.
My family loves it.
Yeah, my kids like it too. We got to get out there. So anyways, that's a definite something that's going on around here. Jacob, do you got anything that's going on this weekend?
Nothing fun.
No?
No.
All right.
Just cleaning the room, getting ready for school.
Everybody's
that's about
cleaning.
It.
That was something that we talked about. You know, and, you know, here's one of the biggest things that I want to know is how do you separate from stuff that you really like when you have too much clutter?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a big question,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we had that discussion last night of how much is too much and what drags you down versus picks you up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's going to be in your life for a long time? Like, is it going to matter in, you know, 10 mm-hmm. years, 20 years?
Yeah.
Right? Are you going to still, you know, isn't it, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever looked around your house and said, What is all the stuff that I really love? I mean, you know?
Well, and I was saying last night that I have a different perspective because my parents both have passed away and I had to sell their home and distribute all their stuff and sell all their stuff or whatever. And I don't ever want to leave my kids with that.
Right. That's a big responsibility and a burden.
It is a
burden. More than anything. So anyways, well, on a great note, let's get organized. You know, gosh, live in the present. Do something great for yourself. I thank you for being a part of my show. This has been
you're
really
welcome.
Fun for 3 days. Now it's like, oh, wait a minute. You might have to come back more.
Yeah,
you
know? I won't be here next week.
Oh, you're gone. Where are you going?
My daughter turned 16. We're going to Disneyland
16.
For 3 days with a bunch of her friends.
There you go. All right. Jacob, great job on
thank
the
you.
Board. And, of course, I always end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today is begin as if each day were on purpose. And I love that. Really, you know, do something. Know that this is a gift every day and make it your best, whatever it is. And, you know, turn yourself around. If you start on, you know, something and you think, oh, I didn't do a good job, start your day again. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I urge you to have a great weekend, and I'll be back on Monday. And for any reason that you missed any part of our show, remember, you can hear it from 3 to 4 today. All right, take care. I'm Kim. Have a great day.
Wanting to start again. Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens, but no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you? Cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light. Let it shine. Just a-